great responsibility, not just for the gospel here in our area, and we'll get into this, but to the uttermost part of the earth. And if you found Matthew chapter 28, let's stand together. We're just going to read the last five verses, beginning in verse number 16. Matthew 28, this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I love these verses of Scripture. We'll get into them here a little bit more here in just a moment. But I love is what some have entitled this as being the Great Commission, or the Great Command that's been given to us. And we're going to look at it here for a little while this morning. Let's have a word of prayer first, and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your love towards us. And Lord, that you would stoop down further than we could stand up. And Lord, that you saved us out of the muck and the mire of sin. Lord, you established our goings. You put our feet on a solid rock. You give us the assurance of heaven for all of eternity. And Lord, that is the message that needs to be carried out around this world. I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some have said in the past, why go to Matthew chapter 28, and if you've been here on Thursday nights, I know that we're looking at and finishing up a series on dispensationalism and the different time periods throughout the Scripture. And I know that Matthew is a kingdom book written to the Jews, and the application that is here. The reason we come back and we look at the Great Commission that has been given, and we make application for us today, is because this is said to the 11 disciples. Of course, there's 11 disciples because one disciple, Judas, he was a devil and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and went out and hung himself after he had betrayed Jesus. And so they're down to 11 disciples now. And Jesus meets with them out there on the mountain just before he's getting ready to ascend. And we're taught throughout the New Testament that the apostles, they are the foundation of the church that the Lord Jesus Christ was establishing. And I believe that as we look at this, I believe that what was commanded here, and we'll look at it, the subject matter of missions, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, that's why we come back and look at it as a great commission, as a great command that's been given to be able to teach and to preach to all nations. Now, some will say, well, what is missions? We walk into churches today, and we have 10 boards up here on this wall, and some would say, what are those things? Well, those are missionaries that we support financially to be able to go out and do the work and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what is missions? I believe missions, very simply, is actually defined right here in verses 19 and 20. I believe we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to teach them. And you say, what do we teach them? We teach them the Word of God. We teach them the way of salvation. Because immediately after that, after we teach them, then we're supposed to be baptizing them. You're not baptizing someone who has never trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So you teach them the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After you teach them the gospel, then you baptize them. And then the Bible says in verse number 20 that you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I believe missions is threefold, that we're supposed to preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then we're supposed to teach them or disciple them in what the Scriptures say. Now, a lot of times we emphasize one or two aspects of that, maybe a little bit more than maybe the third aspect, where we're so keen on how many are saved and how many are baptized. Okay, but how many are you discipling? How many are you teaching the Word of God to? Some have gotten overbalanced and saying, okay, we're just spending all of our time discipling, and they never go out and lead a soul to the Lord. But then some will say, I'm over here leading souls to the Lord, but they'll never disciple anybody. I believe the Great Commission, the Great Command, the biblical emphasis on mission, I believe is the completion of all three of them. To preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, to baptize them, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We look at missions and we say, do we have a responsibility? Do we have? Hey, we've got needs right around here in Concord, New Hampshire. So why would we send missionaries out halfway around this world when we have needs that are right here? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you looked in the bulletin, that's actually the title of the message today. The why of missions. Why should we? You say, well, I'm just of those that believe that we ought to do what we can right here in this local community. We don't have to reach out around this world. Can I say this? That's not according to the Bible. That's not biblical principles to be able to follow. And Jesus began right here and said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I want to share simply four thoughts this morning, as we look at the why of missions. How many here, when they were raising their children, got tired of the question, why? You tell them to go do something, why? Now, I will be honest with you, it has been my desire raising our children that anything that we did inside of our home, I did my best to be able to have it based upon a biblical principle that I would be able to give an answer for it. There were still a few things that I had to say because I said so. But I tried for that not to be my default answer to be able to go to. The why of missions. I believe we'd agree this morning that according to the Bible, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love the verse where it says that Jesus, He tasted death for all men. I'm thankful for a Savior that loves each and every one of us. And can I say, He loves that person walking down the street. He loves that person that's not in church this morning. He loves the person that's in church that doesn't know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. He loves every soul. I'm not saying we deserve to hear the gospel. I didn't deserve to hear the gospel. Then why is it that we ought to send missions money? Listen, we have missionaries come in. We'll have another one coming in next week. And he is selling out from everything where he's at. And he's taking his wife and a couple children. And they're packing up into a truck and a trailer. And he said, now, Pastor Chamberlain, he said, if we wanted to, and he said, drive that thing straight through. He said, no brakes. He said, just stop for gas, get back in, sleep in the car, and head on through. He said, it'd take us nonstop at least 3.5 days to drive it. That's 24 hours a day, round the clock, to be able to get up there. He said, you ever try doing that with your kids in the car? Towing a trailer behind you with all your earthly possessions? He said, it's going to take us, he said, with the stops, he said, we're hoping everything dries out, the roads that we have to get over, it's going to take about 2.5 weeks, he said, to be able to make that trip. And some would say, why in the world would someone go and do that? Can I say, with the society and the way things are here in America, it's real tempting. Go hide in a corner somewhere and say, let me try to reach these people for the glory of God. We see here in verse number 19, we see first of all the why of missions, because it's commanded. He said in verse number 19, go. He never once said, as we read down through here, he never once said, if you feel like it. He never once said, hey, this is an option. If you get all of your community taken care of, then you can go and you can start reaching another community. In fact, we'll close with the verses today out of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But the Bible says, there ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that word both is meaning concurrently, at the same time, we're supposed to be reaching our Jerusalem here, and we're supposed to be reaching to the uttermost part of the earth. We have the Zutter's daughter that flew in. I can't say she's all fresh from Australia this morning. Jet lag probably settling in big time on her. But been living over there, trying to reach the Australian people for what, some 20, 25 years now. Trying to reach people halfway around the world. You say, why is that? Can I say, in a lot of cases, simply, it's because God commanded for that to be done. You say, well, God hasn't commanded me to pack up and move, and I'm so thankful, and I'll say it again next week, that I'm so thankful that God has not called me to the Northwest Territory. Can I say this? That does not negate my responsibility to make sure they're helped reach with the gospel. Because if this is being given, listen, the 11 disciples, the foundation of the church, and the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, before I go, I want you to go. I want you to teach and I want you to preach to every nation and to every creature. That's the responsibility of the local church today, is to send the gospel out around this world. You say, well, if I can't go, that's why we send someone else in our place. That's why it's called deputation when they come in. We are actually deputizing them with the full authority on behalf of our church to be able to go and to be able to reach those souls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are sometimes, listen, while I was growing up, there are some times that I did things that my dad commanded me to do, not because I wanted to, but because he commanded me to. He said, do it, and I did it. Because I knew what would come after if I didn't. Now listen, we think about that as human beings, and we say, that's understandable in our lives. Listen, why shouldn't it be enough that when God says to go and teach all nations, why isn't it enough to be able to say, God said to do it, we just need to get the gospel out around this world. We just need to do everything we can do. When I was down at that Jubilee down in Georgia a week and a half ago, a man got up and he said, I know it's a Jubilee, I know it's a revival meeting. He said, but I'm preaching on missions this morning. And he preached his entire message on missions and the responsibility that each and every one of us have. And he said, listen, he said, it's not an option that God's given to us, but it is a command to be able to go and to be able to teach and to preach to every creature. It's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I walked up to him afterwards and I said, Brother Ballou, I said, when we started our church 5.5 years ago, the very first check that was ever written from Granite State Baptist Church was a check to a missionary. I said, I believe the Lord's blessing in part because of that, of giving to missions. And making sure that the gospel is going out further than just here. Some have said, well, you're just starting a church. You won't be able to support missionaries for quite a while. And I said, listen, I said, it's of my belief. I said that a man ought not be going out and starting a church if he's not already supporting missions. I said, he personally ought to be given enough to missions to be able to pick up a missionary for support. I don't care if it's $25 a month. Be able to start supporting missions. We've got a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to go ye therefore and teach all nations. You say, well, Pastor, that's not quite enough for me just because God commanded us to do it. wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just close the message right there? Oh, you mean God said to do it? Oh, well, that settles it. If God said to do it, then we'll just do it. No argument. We'll just follow. You say, oh, that's not enough. God said to do it. I understand there. We'll turn over to Mark chapter 16. We're just going to walk our way through some of these Gospels and end up in Acts chapter 1. Mark chapter 16. You say, we've got a command to do that. I understand that. I understand that's what God said to do. But you know something? Even when I had commands as a child, there were times I still didn't do that. But when I come over to chapter number 16 of the book of Mark, I see there's not just a command that's given, but I also see that there's consequences if we don't. You say, what's the consequences? Well, we're disobeying God. Yeah, but that's not where I'm going with this. It's not the consequences of us being disobedient to the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But look at this phrase. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And I looked at that, listen, I've read that phrase of Scripture, that statement, over and over and over. But the Bible says, if someone does not trust Christ as their Savior, they are eternally damned from the presence of God. I thought, that's reality. The consequences of someone not getting the gospel. He that believeth not shall be damned. I thought, Lord, we've traveled this world. We've been able to set foot on 6 different continents, and there's people everywhere. We were shipping a container over to Ghana, West Africa, several years ago. Can I say this? We were all excited. All excited, man. We were putting Bibles on that container. We were putting John and Romans on that container, gospel tracts on there. And I think between the Bibles and the John and Romans, I think we had about 24. With the John and Romans and the New Testaments, we had about 242,000 copies of Scripture on that container. Man, we were shouting the glory, Brother Chamberlain. We were thinking, man, praise the Lord for it. Look what God's doing. We started praying for the container going over there, and it's going to a country of 24 million. I said, what in the world? I said, when we're sending something over there, we're getting all excited. And I said, it's 1%. I said, and that's just one country. I wrote about it in the bulletin. You remember Brother Norton last week making a statement. Listen, I calculated it on the high number when he said that there's between 600 and 1,200 evangelical Christians. I'm not even going to say they're all saved. But what if they were? 1,200 in the entire country of 2 million people. And I sat down with my calculator. That is 0.0006%. And I thought, one nation that has just barely under 2 million people, that if they don't hear the gospel and accept Christ and believe in the finished work of Calvary, guess what? The Bible says he that believeth not is damned. We all remember several years ago the tsunami that took place over in the South Pacific. They estimated just over 200,000 people went out into eternity just like that. It was set in perspective of a preacher several months later. He got up at a conference that we were at. And he said, of all my study, and he said, I've tried to confirm this over the past few weeks. He said, looking back over the history of the world, he said, what just took place with that tsunami, he said, that was probably the most people to die and go to hell at one time since the flood. And Brother Pinto, the reality of that. You say, well, maybe some of them were saved. Can I say that the area of the nation that it was, of the world that it was in, there's not a bright shining light of the gospel on every corner. And the reality, the consequences that if we do not send the gospel forth, that missionaries are laboring, they're desiring, God's commanded them to go. And we have the responsibility to say, listen, I'm not going there, but I can sure be a part in what you're going to do. And you say, well, I've thought about it several times. I thought, you know, if that was my family member, I've seen some tragedies take place overseas, and you see the emotional reaction to all of that, and no hope whatsoever as they're dealing with that with their family, and just multitudes that have just gone out into eternity, and they just sit there with no direction, with no hope whatsoever of saying, what are we going to do? But the responsibility of that. Now listen, we can look across our own nation. And when we have some 330 million people or so, and I know it's getting higher than that. Some have set up around 370. But when we start looking at the population of our nation, and we start looking at those and the amounts that are unsaved without Christ, and then we scale it down and we just look at our state here of a little over 1 million people. Break it down a little bit further. You just look at your town. Look at the city of Concord. 47,000 people, according to the last census. I don't want to go out on a limb, but can I say this just from being around? If I said there were maybe 1,000 people in Concord saved out of 47,000, you look at the magnitude of people that there are around us and the consequences that come if they don't accept Christ. You say, what are we here for? Can I say too many churches have just become a social gathering? Too many churches, it's just a networking site. We had a church down in Tennessee. It was the big church in the area. But it was all the big elite businessmen and money and wealth and everybody that went to that church. And it was their business networking site. I'm thinking, best of my knowledge, they didn't support one missionary. I'm thinking, Lord, would you help us? This is reality. We're not just here to build buildings and fill chairs, take care of the kids and be able to have a sweet time, fulfill our religious duty and say we've gone back to the house. No, I'm talking about there are real consequences if people don't get the gospel. Not just here in Concord, not just here in New Hampshire, not just New England, but around this world, if the gospel is not put forth, there's real consequences. One day, every one of them will take their final breath. Consequences. You say, well, Pastor, that's just not enough for me. I know that God's commanded it. I know that there's consequences if we don't. Turn over to Luke chapter 24 with me. Luke chapter 24. The Bible says in verse number 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Where? Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But here's the next phrase, verse number 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. And I wrote down, I started looking at that, I'm saying, why would Jesus look at them and say, listen, here's the command that I want you to take to them. Here's how I want you to go. I want you to preach the gospel, repentance, remission of sins. That's what needs to be preached. So I want you to know, you're witnesses of these things. I wrote down, I said, if we're not just doing it because we're commanded, if we're not just doing it because of the consequences of it, at least we could be doing it out of compassion. You say, why compassion? I believe the Lord's reminded them. Hey, you're witnesses of this same message being preached unto you. You're witnesses of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your heart and life. And you ought to have the desire to be able to take that to someone else. And I'm thinking in my life, listen, every one of us could start giving testimonies about how good and how blessed God has been to us. Every one of us that are saved and on our way to heaven, listen, I'm not going to face the consequence of eternity without Christ. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Listen, you can't take that away from me, and I can't give it up. And I know where I'd be going if it wasn't for Jesus. But what He's done in my heart, shouldn't there be something because of what He's done for me that I want to be able to tell someone else? You say, oh, that's just not me. I'm more one of them saved people, and I just keep it to myself. And well, He's commanded us to preach it and to teach it to every creature. There's consequences if we don't. Listen, if you showed up late today and there was a fire inside this building, I pray that you would do everything you could do, even standing on the outside hollering and yelling, making sure that everybody's gotten out of the fire and they're not in danger anymore. You say, oh, that's just not me. Well, it ought to be. It ought to be each and every one of us that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved our souls for all of eternity. We are witnesses of these things, and allow us to be able to have some compassion towards those that are lost without Christ. A lot of times missionaries will come in, and they'll put their slides up on the wall. You know why they do that? It's not to fill time. It's not because they have nothing else to do. They're just praying. Because as Lamentation says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And just hoping, just praying. That's why Brother Daniel did it during the afternoon service last week, as he stood up here and he was weeping and he was crying for those pictures that came up, because there's people that were lost without Christ. And he knew that if he got a phone call that they've gone out into eternity before he gets back to Sylvania, that they were eternally separated from him. God had done something in his heart and life, and saying, hey, because of God saving him, he wants to be able to have compassion on those that he comes in contact with, to be able to get the gospel to them. And listen, God has saved us. God has raised us up. God has given us the Bible. God has given us the ability to be able to have compassion on those that are around us. Over in the book of Jude, it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I thought there's some, listen, we've got to understand that there are souls that are going out into eternity, and after what Christ has done for us, may we have the compassion to be able to see other souls saved. Can I challenge you sometimes? Just look at the people that drive by you on a daily basis. Just look at them. Go to the mall sometimes. You know where the old men sit. As their wife goes inside the store and you sit outside there on that bench. Listen, it's not just a sitting stool, but look at those people as they walk by. Sit at a red light sometime and watch the people pulling by in their cars with no joy and no direction and no hope whatsoever for all of eternity. Then start saying, hey, thank you God so much for saving my soul. Maybe God will start burdening that compassion deep inside of us. Can I re-emphasize? We are not the type of church that believes that we can just sit here and whoever's going to be saved is going to be saved and we don't have to do anything about it. Amen. That's not us. When Jesus said go, He said go. The other place where he said, go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in, there's something about that word compel. Strong persuasion. You know, them servants knew how good the meal was going to be. I bet they couldn't believe that some rejected that and wouldn't come to it. I'm thinking, listen, may God give us compassion. For those that are around us, you say, I have a hard time exercising compassion. Just sit and think long enough on what Jesus has done for you. Just sit and think long enough on where you ought to be today if it wasn't for Jesus. Just sit and think where your family would be today if it wasn't for Jesus. And then think about the millions that are around us, all across this nation, all around the world. They're heading to that exact same place without Jesus. I'm saying, Lord, I know you've commanded it, but I found out it's a whole lot better if we do things for the Lord because we love Him and out of compassion than just because they're commanded. We'll get into it in the next few weeks, but that's why I believe as you look throughout the New Testament, that's why the offering for missions to be able to be taken up, to be able to support missionaries, that's why I believe it's a free will offering. And it's not just something that's mandated throughout the Scriptures. Amen. It's a free will offering. It's because out of compassion to be able to reach souls and to be able to see their lives changed. Finally, this morning, turn over to Acts chapter number 1. I told you we'd end up there. Acts chapter number 1. Another account of the Savior's final words. The apostles were all standing around asking if the kingdom was going to be restored. Jesus said in verse number 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The very last words of the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his apostles, you're going to be endued with power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. You say, why? Why should we be part of missions? If for no other reason, because of the companion that's in our heart. You see, there wasn't even an option here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he didn't say there's a good possibility, Brother Heber. He didn't say if you feel like it, you can be a witness. He said when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Can I say that when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, and I'm not talking, listen, I'm as far from a Pentecostal and a charismatic as you'll find. And I'll say this, the Baptists had the Holy Ghost of God long before them denominations did too. But when you're being led of the Holy Spirit of God, it is just going to be a natural outflow that we're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just natural. That's what gets me week after week after week. You have churches even around Concord and this surrounding area that, listen, a multitude will gather there this morning and they'll get so full of the Holy Ghost, but they'll never be a witness to anybody this morning. And I'm thinking, now, hold on. That doesn't line up with Bible. The Bible says, when the Holy Ghost of God comes upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You say that means we have to start over in the city of Jerusalem? That was for that church getting started. I believe Concord is our Jerusalem. I believe the surrounding areas are our Judea. And you can pick the one town you don't like and call it Samaria if you want to. They didn't look very favorable on Samaria. Have Samaria, and then as far as the uttermost part of the earth. Now, here's what happened in the first century church. They had a direct command from the Lord. The Lord laid out the consequences. You have to go. If they don't believe, they'll be damned. At least for compassion, at least for the companion, we have the Holy Ghost of God that is living inside of us. The Bible says that they were endued on with power. Holy Ghost of God came upon them believers there in the book of Acts. Church started growing. You know one thing they didn't do? They didn't go to Judea. They didn't go to Samaria. They didn't go to the uttermost part of the earth. They stayed right there in Jerusalem until you get to around Acts chapter number 7 and 8 and the persecution is ramping up against the church of the living God. And when the persecution got so bad, then they started scattering from Jerusalem. And God even had a purpose in all of that. And God had to bring persecution to the church in order for the gospel to be able to go further. But you know, one of the greatest preachers of the New Testament that we have wrote over half the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Guess what? He wasn't even out of the church in Jerusalem. Persecution came and the gospel went to Antioch. Guess where Paul was sent out of as a missionary? Sent out of Antioch. I thought, how wonderful our Lord is. Now, here's the thing. I'm not praying for persecution. I'm not. But I just wonder what God would have done with that church there at Jerusalem. If those apostles, instead of being there, listen, they'd had a minimum 8,000 saved being added to the church daily. I mean, God was bringing them in. What if those apostles had just said, all right, it's time to go. Preacher brought up a few weeks ago. He said, what if those seven men out of Acts chapter number 6, he said, what if they hadn't stayed in Jerusalem? What if they'd gone out and preached the gospel in the regions beyond? Would Stephen not have been stoned if they'd just gone out and preached the gospel? Can I say this? The matter of missions, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the why, we've been commanded to. We have responsibility to reach our Jerusalem, Judea. That means we ought to be doing everything we can do to be able to reach our surrounding area. And can I say at the same time, we ought to be doing everything we can possibly do to be able to reach around the world. Now can I say it would be sad if you'd be seated here today, and we're talking about reaching around the world with the gospel, and you're seated here and you don't even know Christ as your personal Savior. I don't believe we ought to overlook the one that's seated right here and maybe not sure of their salvation to be able to go and be able to reach thousands of miles away and forget about those that are right here. So maybe you're here today, and I know missions begins at home. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved. You never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, we heard a testimony. Miss Rebecca down in Sunday school today gave her testimony. Her parents told her that she had prayed and gotten saved when she was 4 years old. Her parents told her that. She said, but I didn't remember any of it. She said, God convicted me. Said, you need to get saved for yourself, not what your parents have told you. And I thought, we may have some that are sitting in church today, and you're just not sure of your salvation. Listen, missions begins right here on a Sunday morning. That if you're not sure that you're saved, it needs to get settled today. But that it may be that we need to be seeing our opportunity and our responsibility a little bit further and ask God to be opening up our hearts and opening up our minds and our eyes to be able to see beyond ourselves and be able to see what the need is around this world. Well, then maybe God will be speaking to hearts saying, hey, you need to go. You don't need to sit here. I'm not asking you to be one that sits here and gives. I want you to be one that goes. You say, you think God may call me to Africa? Maybe you'd be so honored if God would. You say, but all the sacrifices? Listen, we traveled for 15 years. I can't say it one sacrifice. We were living better at the end of the 15 years because of God's provision than we were at the beginning of the 15 years. God met every need all the way through. Took care of everything. The why of missions, God commanded us. We're full of the Holy Ghost, we'll be going anyway. Across the street and around the world. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You just need to get it settled and know that you're on your way to heaven. I'm praying throughout this month that God would burden our hearts more and have a heart for missions than we've ever had before. Be able to go further than we've ever gone. Be able to support more. Be able to do more than what we've ever done. May God give us a heart for missions. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed?